Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Well, good to be here. Looking forward to our conversation today, Daniel Lim.
Okay, so here is a statement that, I guess it's kind of a statement slash question that came in through Twitter. So, and I forgot to get the guy's name that submitted it, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Here's a statement. Every church...
You know, you can actually go look and see on Twitter. It's still there.
Yeah, I could.
It's okay. But you're, I understand. You're a busy man. You're a busy man changing the world up there in Canada. I understand.
All right, so here's the statement. And this is in light of COVID and all that, the pandemic that we are still in. Every church just became a church plant, or at least a replant. Okay, so that's a statement. And yeah, the question is, what do we need to know?
That's a wrong statement.
Okay. So let's break that down and then get to the second part.
Well, I'm done. Thank you for listening to the New Churches podcast. Well, I think that there's a lot of assumptions tied up in that. And one of the assumptions is that we get to relaunch like a church plant. And I think one of the things that we see is that's not the case. I mean, we remember President Trump saying church is just filled with Easter on Easter. And of course, churches weren't filled on Easter. Hmm. But there's a sense that a desire, I think, that we would relaunch, that all these churches are going to relaunch. And that's where the church plant language comes in, or church replant, you relaunch. But none of us are going to have a grand opening. We're going to have a gradual reopening. Mm. And what's happening is even in the churches, you know, I mentioned in a prior episode, Hill Country Bible Church, you know, a lot of these churches, and you know, some of these are shutting down, they were open, but they're at 15 to 20% of people coming. Even at churches that are really, really, you know, the church saying, we're going to open up no matter what, 15 to 20% of people are coming. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're not talking, I mean, just the feel, people often ask me, is church evangelization just like church planting? So no, it's actually not like church planting really at all. There are things in common. You need to be a good leader. You need to lead well. You need to, you know, create systems and structures. You know, there are certainly things that are in common between the two, but the skill sets required are very, very different, yeah, between them. And so I think for us to miss that, so what I would say is there is no easy comparison to something we have done before to what we will be doing now. Mm. There's no comparison historically. You say, well, yeah, there's been plagues, etc. So yeah, but nobody, we didn't have public health that shut down in the same way. Even the Spanish flu, it's just different. I mean, there were no conversations about singing like there might be in some of these contexts. Masks were actually debated and controversial. Mm. But, you know, so there's just, everything here is you know, Todd Bolsinger has a book, Canoeing the Mountains, where Lewis and Clark, you know, were supposed to find the passage to the Pacific Ocean by going up the Mississippi. And they took their canoes and they ended up going up the Mississippi headwaters and tributaries, and they ended up finding these things called the Rocky Mountains. Mm. And now they got to canoe the mountains. I mean, they, and that's kind of us. We're canoeing the mountains. We're, in his book, by the way, called Canoeing the Mountains, I think is so good. I use it in my leadership class. So I think that's where we are, right? We've come to a situation that is unique, that is inconceivable. No one would have thought this. Even, you know, I tease around my family because, you know, in January I said this was going to be the biggest crisis in our lifetime. And as you know, I kind of went on this weight loss because I don't want to get sick while I got, you know, COVID's out there. But mm-hmm. I saw it's going to be a huge deal. And you know, so I could pat myself on the back that I stocked up on hand sanitizer while the rest of you weren't sure what was going on. So I got all the hand sanitizer if you need some. But then, you know, Donna says to me, but if you knew this was going to come, why didn't you take our retirement money out of the stock market?
Yeah.
And the answer is we're all, this is all, I mean, who would have guessed they would have shut down the economy? Mm-hmm. No one, this never happened, yeah, before. We didn't, right, shut down the economy in the Spanish flu. And yet to know the way, because of exponential spread, the way things, you know, two people infect two, you know, four people infect eight people, 16, 32, 64, soon you're in the thousands. So it has a disproportionate impact. Churches, the most common way that people gather in large groups each week outside of schools is actually in churches. Mm. So I think that this is all uncharted territory. We've come to the Rockies with our canoes and like, what now? So what I would say is we need best thinking. That's one of the reasons we launched the Stetzer Leadership Podcast. That's one of the reasons the last few episodes we've had here have been dealing with this. We got to listen to good leaders. What are they doing? And then we've got to be good leaders to figure out what are we doing. And then we've got to help communicate that to our congregations so they can be through that together. So it's not church planning. It's not church revitalization. Church reopening will be something that people study for decades to come. What happened and how it happened. And a lot of the churches won't make it. The vast majority will. I think one of the things we saw, you know, if we had this conversation in April, Daniel, you know, the first survey we did in partnership with Exponential, and it was discipleship.org, and I apologize for not mentioning everyone, Catalyst, we surveyed almost 2,000 churches, and giving was really, everyone was freaking out in April and May. But then we find ourselves in July and August, and it's different. You know, so every step is a new step. It's canoeing the mountains. It's figuring it out again. But I think ultimately, I get, let me say a positive note about this unnamed person that you don't remember from the internet. I think it's actually like you, but anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
I would also say there are things to learn about church planting and even church revitalization that we apply in this context. But I would just say the things that got you to plant a church, things that got you to revitalize a church is not going to ultimately be the full skill set you're going to need to make this through.
Yes. So I think that you made a great point right there. And I think when you think about this, the person who's asking this question, there is really that sense of, okay, what does reopening look like? What does opening look like? And I think from that perspective, there are things that you can learn from church planting.
Why don't you unpack some of them? Because I think, you know, this question you made up, so you might as well answer it.
No. I'd own it if I made it up. But honestly, I think from the opening side of things, yeah, you got to communicate, right? You have to communicate over and over and over again. And that's something that you have to do when you're launching a church because people don't know otherwise. So I think from that perspective, that is definitely something that we can all learn from when reopening happens. And maybe you've already reopened, but then it's how do you communicate changes? Are you going to mandate masks? Are you not going to? If there's a second wave, how are you then going to communicate to your church then? And if things loosen, how are you going to communicate that? So from that perspective, there's a sense of, okay, how do you do mass communication in different ways over and over and over again? So from that perspective, I think that's something that we can learn from church plants. But having said that, I think the other side of this, you know, the statement, every church just became a plant. I think the thing that we can probably take out of that is, hey, is there something that from a, I guess, from a structure standpoint or from a ministry standpoint that you want to hit reset on? Well, I think this is when you reopen, that is what you can actually do. So I know churches are horrible. Most churches are horrible at stopping ministries or stopping things. We're good at starting, but we're really bad at stopping. Well, everything's stopped. So even for our staff here, we, as we do ministry planning, and this is a big change we've made, we typically at our church do annual ministry planning where the departments are saying, okay, this is our, and it kind of follows the annual budget cycle. Yeah. It kind of follows the annual budget cycle. But with COVID, we're basically going to quarterly ministry planning and quarterly budgeting in and around that so that we are able to shift and we are able to plan. So I think from that perspective, our staff is, you know, they're like, okay, this is all the stuff that we've stopped. What do we want to start? What do we want to restart? What do we want to test? And here's the thing, you only for 4 months. That's it. We're only going to hold it to you. And then you need to evaluate it. Just because you did it this semester or this quarter doesn't mean you get to do it the next quarter. We need to evaluate it so that we really are doing the best, doing the 20% that really makes 80% impact.
No, I agree. And I would, by the way, just because I really had doubts whether this was an actual question that you might have made up. I did Google it. I actually used Twitter search, and you could have done that too before the show, and you would actually know that Tim Weirach, He actually put the question.
See, and, you're just a better man than me. So,
yeah, exactly. But since it's a real person, I want to say that I really appreciate the question, because I do think there is. What I want to do is I don't want to overgeneralize with that, because I don't want people thinking you got to get launch out of your mind. You got to get going public out of your mind. You're gonna gradually reopen. But I think some of the things you said are very good, you know, what I would say in crisis leadership. And you know, I have a crisis leadership course now that people can take at Wheaton through what we call WheatonX. But what I would say is in crisis leadership, one of the questions you're asking too, and you know, you got to be careful with this phrase, because you're not saying this, you're glad the crisis came, but never waste a crisis. So, you know, there should be questions. What do I need to change? I was talking to a pastor just a couple of days ago, and yeah, we're going to come back, and we're not going to bring back our Sunday night service that we've had for 100 years. So this is a good time to do it. You can make all kinds of changes right now that you needed to make, but church plants don't think that way. So that's where even replants don't think that way. So you got to also think revitalization skills. It's really, this is just a leadership skill. I don't think we'll do this regularly. Who knows if we start having, you know, more viral issues, but I don't think we will see this regularly around our world. But until we do, there are three categories: church plants, church revitalizations, and gradual reopenings. And I think this is a learning in process. So Tim, thank you for your question. Much of it true. What I would say is, let's all of us listen to, again, that's why we're doing like Central Leadership Podcast. That's why we're doing stuff here, because we're trying to say, all right, who's made what decision? What can we learn from it? And what do we need to not do? Maybe that, you know, because what happened is a lot of those churches in the South, particularly like in Arizona and in Florida, I mean, a bunch of churches backed up their plants. Some of them were open and reclosed, you know, open and reclosed. Yeah. And so how do we avoid those things? And I think that's the tricky part, is that this is not something we can run our normal plays on. Ooh, sports metaphor from Ed's Desert. This is something we can't run the normal play on. This is something that is, we're just learning as we go, and listening to others is going to be key. That's why the New Churches podcast is so important.
Well, awesome. That's thanks for looking up his name. And thank you, Tim, for sending that question in.
Thank you, the nameless Tim.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. And if there's anything on this episode that you're like, oh, I want you to double click on that, please follow up on this point, then just send that question in. Go to newchurches.com if you're on your computer, and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or just hit or go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, and send that voicemail in, and we'd love to answer it. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.